Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. The scripture lessons are from Isaiah chapter 42, 14 through 21, Psalm 142, and the Gospel of John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Today's message is titled, From Blind to Seeing. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning at verse 14. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountain and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. It pleased the Lord, for the sake of his righteousness, to make his law great and glorious. Here ends the first lesson. Psalm 142, a maskil of David, when he was in the cave hiding. A prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 9, beginning verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. The Gospel of the Lord. I encourage you to read the rest of the Gospel of John this morning, for it is the rest of the event of that day with the blind man. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised, and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look in my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther. I was in first grade. The time came for those hearing and eye exams that they do in the schools. The result came that I should go see an optometrist, off to Andrews Air Force Base to see the optometrist. The exam showed my right eye was not working properly. My left eye was taken over, and the vision in my right eye was wasting away. My right eye was a classic case of lazy eye. Good thing that it was caught when it was. If it was missed much longer, the vision in my right eye would have been lost in its entirety. God's goodness was at work, even with those ugly black-rimmed glasses from the base optometrist. Yes, on the left eye went that patch to force the right eye to work. I hated that patch. Being in first grade, the teasing came, but I soldiered on, wearing that patch each day. I don't remember how many months I had to wear that patch each day, nor how many patches I went through. It was perhaps 6 months or more. I just don't know. A patch on my left eye could have been longer. But you know, for a 7-year-old recalling accurately how long a patch was worn, it could be of dubious accuracy. Patch on left eye. Thick black plastic Air Force issued rims for my glasses. The right eye started to wake up and began to work as it should. A few years later, perhaps I was in fifth grade, I bought that Lindbergh model kit of the human eye for a science project. Do you remember those model kits? Invisible woman, invisible man, human eye, human ear, you could all buy those. The human eye, with all its muscles, it was a hinged eyeball, so you could see the inner parts and all those things that make up the miracle of the human eye. Build the kit. Carefully try to paint in all the blood vessels. Paint the various parts of the eyes. And all be in awe. Be in awe of the structure of the human eye. The human eye truly is a miracle. After those months of wearing the patch, the eyeglasses would be continued to be worn. The right eye continued gaining in strength. The ugly black rim glasses, those standard Air Force issues that you could get, they finally gave way to wired rims. That's after I had proved myself to be careful and not lose my glasses nor break my glasses. And you know, mid-70s, long blonde hair, wired rim glasses, some said, I looked like John Denver. And to which I would say, far out! The human eye, the miracle of the human eye, the great gift of sight, oftentimes it's taken for granted. With each new sunrise or a new sunset, each blooming flower or each raindrop, and then the rainbow. Colors, shapes, sizes, distinguishing the depth of field, perceiving shades of gray, and watching the sparkles of light generated by chewing fresh wintergreen lifesavers in the pitch black dark of night. chewing with your mouth open so others could see those sparkles of light. Then looking up at the stars at night, marveling at the wonder of creation, all seen because of the miracle of the human eye. In today's gospel, we met a man who has never seen any of the Lord's beauty of creation. In fact, this man was born blind from birth, the scripture says. The disciples quickly interpreted this to be a sign of sin. Must have done something to receive this punishment. This perspective Jesus quickly blows apart. Neither sinned, rather this happened. Listen carefully, this happened by the divine will of God as a plan of God. This is what it means here in verse 3. And the form from the New American Standard Bible 95 translation carries this out a little more. Jesus answered, it was neither this man's sin nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Born blind, suffering all those years, begging, was so this moment the works of God might be displayed in him. It is so that the work of God, not sin, but the work of God might be displayed in him. Consider this. Truly consider this. That problem, that situation in your life is there for the very expressed purpose of God's work being put on display in you and through you. Have you ever looked at your life's problems in that manner? It could be for the very expressed purpose of God's work being displayed in you. Look at the life of Fanny Crosby. Blindness caused by the wrong treatment when she was 6 weeks old. Faith, the Christian faith, shined through her poems, her cantatas, and of course those thousands of hymns she wrote. Praise Him, praise Him. You know that one. Or Jesus, keep me near the cross. You probably know that one. But I know you know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's just to name a few. Her circumstances, her problems, God used to display His glory. Consider that situation in your life. Is there for the very purpose of God's work, God's glory being displayed in your life? See your life as this is happening so the work of God may be displayed. Will be displayed in me? Wow! God's work will be displayed in me, in you, for others to see and come to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is what's taking place in this blind man's life. This man born blind for the very purpose of God's work to be displayed. In fact, this work is what Jesus was sent to do. Jesus must do this work. That's what it says there in John chapter 9. Jesus must do this work. Jesus is the light to illuminate the work of the Lord God for all to see. All to see. So that they would come to believe Jesus is the Christ. John chapter 9 verse 6. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Made mud. The Greek can be better translated as made clay. That's the better translation of the Greek. Made clay. Made clay from the dust. The dust of the ground. What does that bring to your mind? By any chance, does Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 come to your mind? The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I wonder if this memory was in Jesus' mind as he carefully gathered that little pile of dust to spit into and make clay. Remembering the moment of creation of the first human, it's a thought that crossed my mind and it seems plausible, making clay. The trust in the blind man. The trust in the blind man for another person to smear clay in the face, in the place of the two eye sockets. What are you doing? It will be okay. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. From being seen by Jesus and the disciples, now being sent to the pool of Siloam with clay smeared in his eyes, the blind man trusts Jesus. He follows the directions of Jesus. The pool of Siloam. You know, the exact location wasn't known until 2004. When a large drainage pipe on the south side of the Temple Mount needed repair. Till this time, the traditional site was marked by the 5th century Byzantine church. It was thought to mark the place of this miracle, the miracle recorded in John chapter 9. But as the digger was digging in 2004, the sound of hitting stone caused the digger to stop, halted the work. And if you didn't know it, you know now, whenever there's excavation, any digging in Jerusalem and most of Israel too, any type of that construction work going on, archaeologists are on site to see what's happening. Archaeologists are on site so that whatever comes up, the work can be stopped quickly. And who knows what was dug up or uncovered. And so this is what they dug up. And carefully the work continued. Next set of slides, Heather. 2004, this is after a few weeks of work. The steps of the Pool of Siloam were starting to become uncovered. Next slide. This is now 6+ months worth of work uncovering the steps of the Pool of Siloam. It gets bigger and bigger. And you can travel to Jerusalem. You can see these things for yourself. You can travel online. From this, they kept excavating more. The pool is about 225 feet long. Its corners are more than 90 degrees, making the shape a trapezoid. Next slide. The Pool of Siloam is fed by waters from the Gihon Spring, from the Kidron Valley. It's a naturally flowing spring. What that means is the Pool of Siloam is a mikvah for a ritual bath. It's a ceremonial bath. It qualifies for the ceremonial bath. And with the large number of pilgrims coming to Jerusalem for the festivals, the size of the Pool of Siloam, it's about the size of 2 Olympic swimming pools. That is huge. It could easily accumulate those numbers of pilgrims that sometimes would reach 2 million. Then they kept excavating more. Next slide. And along the side of this one, you can see the pipe that they first originally had to start repairing. But you notice at the end, there is an entranceway. There's a road. Start excavating the road. This is the Pilgrim's Road. It leads from the Pool of Siloam to the Temple Mount. The large number that came to the Pool of Siloam could easily travel all the way up to the Temple Mount after their ritual of purification. They could head up then to the temple for sacrifice. Uncovering the road has taken time. They're tunneling under the Arab neighborhood of Silwan in Jerusalem. But in Jesus' day, as the pool was open, so was this road was open. 5 times wider than what has been uncovered in the tunnel, but it's now deep underground after centuries of destruction, which is known as the history of Jerusalem. Next slide. There, the Pilgrim's Road, 2,000 feet long, leads from the Pool of Siloam to the western wall of the Temple Mount. It soon will be open to the public, if not this year, next year. You'd like to learn more about the Pilgrim's Road in Jerusalem? Search for that. Search for the Pool of Siloam on the internet. It's fascinating. and the information with the pictures is fascinating. The pool of Siloam being a mikvah, it makes perfect sense for Jesus to send the blind man to go and wash. Go and wash in the ceremonial waters of the mikvah of Siloam. You can go back to the sermon slide now. It's just fascinating. There you see it. The blind man, he goes and washes his eyes. In the process of following Jesus' instructions and obeying the man born blind, now seeing. Born blind. Was that no eyes, malformed eyes? Whatever his condition was, now through the creative power of Jesus, this man has eyes that work perfectly. I see. I see. Can you imagine the joy? And likewise, the commotion caused by this man's joy. He goes home. And there are people. They doubt. They doubt he was the blind beggar. They've known him for years. I am he. It's true. It's me. No, you just look like him. It's really me. Could you imagine entering that kind of conversation? How did this happen? How were your eyes opened? From the NIV, John chapter 9, verse 11, he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." Now listen to John 11 from the NASB 95 translation. He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." Did you hear the difference? This is a reason to make use of different translations as you read the Bible or the interlinears that are available online. Greek word translated as "put it on" in the NIV is translated as "anointed" in the NASB 95. Just as the Greek word can be translated as mud or as clay, the Greek word translated as "put it on," that is to spread, it really means more akin and close to anoint. Jesus made clay, anointed his eyes with that clay. For me, the mud and put on, it misses the sacred act of creation that has taken place. Making clay to anoint brings forth even more the tender love of Jesus and the wonder of hearing of this healing. It brings forth even more the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ being displayed in the life of the man born blind. As written in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." And it goes on to say, "Nothing was made without Him." So Jesus is Creator too. And in this act, it seems to be an act of creation. From clay, the man receives sight. Instead of celebrating this great wonder and believing on the one who did this, off to the Pharisees he's taken. And now John tells us of the problem. Now you need to understand the significance of what's taking place here. Jumping down to John chapter 9 verse 32, the blind man says this, "Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind." No one has ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. That's the significance of what's taking place. The blind man recognizes it. But there's a problem here. And so instead of celebrating, off to the Pharisees, and this is the problem, John chapter 9, verse 14. "Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes." It was the Sabbath. How dare you do what you did? An argument broke out. Instead of celebrating, an argument breaks out amongst the Pharisees. John chapter 9, verse 16. "Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there is a division now amongst the Pharisees. Send for the parents! No one believed he was born blind. Send for the parents. We know he is our son. We know he is born blind. But they avoided answering how their son was healed. No great joy. No great joy of Jesus giving their son sight. Rather fear. Fear of being kicked out of the synagogue had grabbed hold of them. John chapter 9, verse 22. This is why fear grabbed hold of him. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. Just like then, it is now. Question the narrative. Go against the prevailing opinion. Lose your job. Lose your professional license. Whether it be COVID, election integrity, the injustice of the dual level of justice being clearly on display this week, the East Palestine environmental disaster, questioning the narrative, there will be consequences. The narrative is no one dare say Jesus is the Christ, or you'll be kicked out of the synagogue. Questioning the narrative, there will be consequences. Mainstream news media, Yahoo, currently, MSNBC, Gmail news briefing, Facebook, the news feeds that come up when you're surfing the internet, reporting has ceased to be, and they're now narrative protection and narrative propaganda. I can give you specific examples after example. I invite you to ask me, and I'll gladly show you. I'll direct you to the sources so you can decide for yourself. To decide for yourself. The narrative. Acknowledge Jesus is the Christ, you will be put out of the synagogue. There is absolutely no way Jesus is the Christ. That's the narrative of the Pharisees and religious leaders. Put out of the synagogue. Do you really understand what that means? You will be shunned from community life. You will be worse than a leper. No one will do business with you. Your livelihood will be gone. All of that would be gone if you dare say Jesus is the Christ. And so they said, he's of age, ask him. He's of age, ask him. The Pharisees were of no mind to know the truth. They were to protect their position, protect their power, protect instead of truth. That same thing is happening these days. Human nature has not changed over the eons. Blind to the truth, refusing to see the truth, will their eyes be opened? Are your eyes open? John chapter 9, verse 24. So a second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Give glory to God. It's a solemn charge to tell the truth. It's the same charge that was given to Jesus on the night he was betrayed. Give glory to God. It's a charge to tell the solemn truth. And the man tells the truth. One thing I know, I was born blind, and now I see. John chapter 9, beginning of verse 25. He then answered, this is the blind man answering, now seeing, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? I told you and you did not listen. Why hear again? Will you change your mind about Jesus? Not at all. The bitter abuse that then arose from the Pharisees, it flowed into the face of this healed man. It's mean-spirited abuse. It exploded upon this man. this healed man. That's what happened. The Pharisees just exploded in a verbal abuse, and perhaps physical abuse too, because he was thrown out of the synagogue. In the face of such humiliating hatred, the blind man who now sees, he testifies. John chapter 9, verse 30, beginning. The man answered, Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. "How dare you question the narrative? You will be thrown out." They threw him out. Instead of celebrating this creative miracle display of God's power, they threw him out. The healed man tells the truth. He gives glory to God and is thrown out with excessive force. Will these Pharisees go from being blind to seeing? John chapter 9, starting at verse 35. Jesus heard that he had been put out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. From blind to seeing to, "Lord, I believe." From being born blind to looking into the face of the living God, all within a few hours, seeing with his own eyes Jesus the Christ, the Savior and Lord. From blind to seeing, the physical blind to seeing was an immense gift. But the greater gift, yes, there is a greater gift there that day. From blind to seeing, the spiritual reality present there. Many hear of Jesus' redeeming grace through the finished work on the cross of Christ. Some will come to see and believe. Others will stick with the narrative. And that narrative these days is anything but Jesus. Any religion will do, not Jesus and the Christian faith. That's the times we're living in. Will people come to see, really see spiritually, Jesus is the Christ? It will not be easy. It will not be easy counteracting the narrative and propaganda of these days. But you need to do it. Give glory to God. Speak the truth so that others may see. They may have physical sight. And the Pharisees said, we see. And Jesus said, "Now that you've said you see, no, you don't see. You are blind and you're in your sin." Help a person come to see, really see Jesus, who he is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, very God of very God. And that the work on the cross, him dying, crucified, and risen, truly does bring forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. It is great that happened in this man's life, physically going from blind to seeing. But an even greater thing took place. He went from blind spiritually to blind to seeing spiritually. Because Jesus said, "You both have seen him and are talking with him." Can you imagine what that is like, to be looking into the face of Jesus, your Savior? And you can this day, You can spiritually know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you will see Him face to face as you see Him now. That is the message of the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. You are forgiven, and spiritually you're born again, and you will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And you already are, because He has risen, Lord. So just see Jesus, the very thought of you, and we'll sing, "But sweeter far your face to view and rest within your light." That gift is yours because you are born again and you spiritually see. By God's grace, you've gone from blind to seeing Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.